What was your mission, in fact?
AMAR, which is the association or the network of community radio broadcasters worldwide, have different groupings in different regions. So AMAR Argentina, that brings together 30 community radios across the country, just organize the coverage of what is the alternative forum to the G20, which is called, in this case, what's called the Summit of the Peoples or People's Summit. So they bring together social movements, trade unions, political parties all across Argentina, mostly on the left, that oppose the policies imposed by the G20, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank. So they got funding from actually the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation, which is their headquarters are in Germany, to bring together people from across the community radios in Argentina, not from the AMAR Argentina network, but also from another more libertarian group, which is called the Association of Free Radios in Argentina, to basically cover the voices of the People's Summit, this alternative summit. So they invited also representatives from Brazil and Uruguay. So what we did basically is just interview those that were taking part in the summit. So representatives from all across Latin America, from Mexico down to obviously Argentina and Chile, that were talking about the situation in their country, but also about alternative policies and actions that are more focused on the needs of people and not so much in the needs of corporations.
This Summit of People, Cumbre de los Pueblos, what was the, let's say, outcome or output of this summit?
Well, the most interesting thing, I suppose, was a call to unity. As we know, the left-wing movements and the social movements tend to be very fragmented, and sometimes they are fighting against the same enemy. In this case, will be, austerity policies, the extraction of natural resources, et cetera, but they fight from different perspectives. So I think the most important, I suppose, conclusion of this forum is that really people need to unite because the enemy is getting bigger and more present now in the shape of right-wing governments across Latin America. We can see now that Bolsonaro has been elected the president of Brazil. And that's really worrying people. In fact, only last week, two members of the movement of the landless people, this is people that occupied land that is not being used, actually to bring up crops of food to eat. So this is about sustainable economy, work has been killed in Brazil. So the conclusion was that the people across Latin America in this case, but I suppose across the world, needs to unite actually to find an alternative and to challenge the increasing presence of the extreme right wing in politics.
This is, in a way, one part of the thing, to have not only a reactive moment, but something that's more action than reaction of this summit. But it was involved in the whole idea of protesting against the thing G20 stands for. What did you observe about the protest? How was this organized, and what was something you took with you back home?
Well, the main thing I took from me at home is really... Now, let me say, I live in Ireland, okay? So here you can walk. If there is a big march or protest, again, political, let's say the G20 or even the European the summit, usually the worst thing that you can fear is a baton charge or water or things like that. In Argentina, the worry was that people may be killed at the demonstration. Okay, so that's one of the things. The second thing was that for weeks ahead of the People's Summit and the protest that was on the 30th of November, the government has been already kind of terrorizing the population, mostly of Buenos Aires, telling them that there was going to be violence, that the people that were attending the summit and the protest were going to be violent. Then there was the police presence. I have never seen so many police. I couldn't imagine there were so many police in a country. I was commenting with the people in Buenos Aires that probably there wasn't any other police left in the rest of the country because everyone was in Buenos Aires. They erected these metal walls around the city. Basically, some areas of the cities were closed to traffic. They closed the airport the one that is in the city, basically, the day before the demonstration. They didn't confirm the way that the march was going to go, okay, the route for the march till the Thursday evening. So, and then another thing that really was surprising is that when we got together to do the coverage of the march, one of the things is they created a security team. So basically we have to walk as a group because they were afraid that a lot of people weren't from Buenos Aires. So if there was if the police was attacking the march, they were afraid that people may get lost or arrested or beaten up. There was a notification also to the public that some areas in the hospital have been empty just to get all the people that may be injured. They were expecting about 1,500 people to be injured. And also that the government has allowed the police to use real bullets. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was you wouldn't feel, because it's an experience, it was completely alien to me, okay, this approach. So I didn't have that feeling of fear, but I could see that the people from Buenos Aires was really worried about the fact that some of the people that they have brought to organize the coverage could be actually injured. Nothing happened at the end. And I think they were saying that probably this was because Macri wanted to show to the world that this was a democratic country where people could march and nothing would happen. But obviously the main thing here is that there is a lot of repression, that I was talking to some of the people who has been marching. For example, recently the Argentinian parliament was voting on abortion and they were marching in the city that were repressed. There was a summit of women in Trelew, which is a city in the middle of Argentina. They were attacked by the police also. We have to understand it's a complete different situation. And violence, government and state violence, is much more prominent maybe in Latin America than it is in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about this, let's say, coverage work that you as a community media representative were doing surrounding the summit and the G20 and the protests against this G20. What was the experiences you took out of this work, and how was the recognition of this media work, your journalistic work?
Well, the main thing I took from this work is really that for me, it was really a learning experience, okay? We in Ireland tend to be very organized, not so participative. So basically, when we were getting people to come here and do the same work we were doing in Argentina, probably everything was going to be organized when they arrived and they were going to be told what to do. In this case, it was completely different. We got together, decided which ones record. There were something like maybe five panel discussions going at the same time. So we have to decide who was going to cover which one. Then we have to go and do the recording, edit the interviews, then upload them to the website with some text explaining what was the interview about and who was talking, who was the interviewee. All this was then promoted across Argentina, also at European level. I suppose the main issue is that most of the recordings were in Spanish. There were some in Portuguese. So there was some difficulty, I suppose, to share this across outside what is Spanish-speaking countries, so Latin America and Spain, I suppose. The conclusion was that really the commitment with the funder was that 15 pieces were going to be uploaded I think at the end they were close to 70 different interviews. The range of people that were interviewed was amazing. So we have from Nobel Peace Prize, Pérez Esquivel, who is from Argentina, who is a human rights defender. We have recordings from Las Madres de la Plaza de Mayo. These are the women, the mothers of the disappeared. In Argentina, there was a military dictatorship between 1976 and 1983, where over 30,000 people basically were kidnapped by the military, tortured, and then killed. And the mothers are still marching every Thursday afternoon in front of the presidential palace, asking for justice and to know what happened to their relatives. There were activists from Colombia, Mexico, El Salvador, Cuba, and actually another one quite interesting thing was to know that the ALBA, this is the alternative Bolivarian solution to Latin America that was promoted by Hugo Chavez, who was the president of Venezuela, who actually wanted to bring together Latin American countries to find an alternative way to organize themselves outside what is the mostly northern-dominated International Monetary Fund, World Bank, etc., etc., what is still active in the shape of social movements, working together across Latin America in solidarity with each other. So it was really, I mean, there was learning in two ways. It's learning how to do radio in a different way with a different set of people that you have never worked with before, first, and then also learning about the social realities and the political realities of Latin America. I suppose the feedback was really positive by everyone who took part on the coverage. We have one morning that was basically dedicated to that, to everyone who has taken part actually to talk about their experience and how they felt it worked for them. And also with the representative of the Rose of Luxembourg, they came to that session that took place actually in a former detention center. So this is one of the places where they took the people that the military arrested and tortured. So it was a torture center when this happened, where we met for this evaluation that is now actually the site of a community radio station in Buenos Aires. Mm. Called Radio Presente. And I think Rose of Luxembourg were really happy, not only for the work that was done there at that point, but also because I think everyone expressed a wish of keep working together. So I think there is a lot of possibilities that now in the future we can see more work done between community radios in Europe and Latin America, which I think it will be really important and interesting.
One thing which would or could come out of those meetings and summits, if people from, let's say, different areas or regions of the world come together and are discussing and thinking, then there could be something that, let's say, like strategies or new ways to organize themselves or to organize the left in a time when you mention it by talking about Brasilia, for instance, in a time where it seems to be that the right movement is the one who's on the track of the winner in a way. Is there something what was coming out of the meetings and all the summits you were visiting and people you were meeting where you could see some new ideas, how to organize, how to bring something in track that would be helpful to be more successful in this huge left-right fight, which is existing worldwide in a way?
I think it's this feeling, they were talking that if the solidarity is very good, okay, but they're saying that really, I think that the people should step further and do more. Okay, it's not about saying, oh, yes, I sympathize with your situation, I support you, but really bring that support into action. I think that's the main thing. And you could see it in this people's summit, that really there was a feeling that people need to fight because they mostly, and you can see this, I think it happens worldwide, okay? We can see it in Europe also, that the rise of right-wing parties in and then reaching power, or even the Brexit in the UK, have actually opened the door to expressions of racism, okay, xenophobic approaches, etc., etc. And the same in Latin America. I think everyone is really worried about this election in Brazil and the result that Bolsonaro, which is a former military man who has expressed really hateful views on homosexuals, women, the indigenous people, this guy is now in power. And I think everyone in Latin America feels that in some way this is a door open to similar politics spreading all across Latin America. So I think that the main thing here was because of the presence of Brazilians, they were, I think, probably was the second most represented group in the People's Summit, the Brazilians, just behind the Argentinians. You can see that really there is this intent actually to work together. I think that one of the things that have started develop, apart from the ALBA, this Bolivarian alternative grouping that works across Latin America, is also a feeling that social movement needs to work together. Okay, the main problem here is that I think that because Latin America have left-wing governments in the past, and people were frustrated because they didn't deliver as much as they were expected at the time. There is this frustration and this lack of trust towards left-wing politicians. Mm. Okay, so I think that will be the main obstacle that the left in Latin America needs to overcome. I think that is this Pérez Esquivel, the peace, the Nobel Peace Prize, put it very clear, that you have to stop with the divisions of the divisions of the divisions, because basically, as he said, you are going to be fucked if you are actually in that situation, that you find that it's more important to challenge and confront people on the left that really look at your enemy, which is basically, you know, on the right, that is the corporations, the economic interests and the political interests that actually are just keeping people down and who care more about money and capital than really people. Okay, so I suppose if this need to work together, that is very clear and everyone expressed, but then it's also these divisions between political options, because one will support, you know, they would support Lula or Dilma in Brazil, and the others will say, yeah, but they didn't deliver. So how do you bring all this together? Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to find, really, I think that people need to focus on the realities and try to fight against a real enemy. I mean, it's very easy for me to say this because I think that it's the same experience about all European countries. Okay, this division on the left and these ideological confrontations, because I'm more lefty than you are, and then this, in some ways, allowed the right wing to grow.